New names, new hope. Elmer, Onyewetu, Autry. But let's be real. Is this roster actually better? And on the football side, we're putting every position group to the test. Who do we trust right now and who's still a major question? I'm Rajiv. He's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers! Ring one up!
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Sunday afternoon this time to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers on today's show. Wisconsin basketball is officially in reload mode with Ion Elmer, Victory Onyewetu, and Trey Autry coming in through the portal. But the big question is, do they actually improve this roster or just reshuffle it? We're going to break down what each addition brings, how they fit, and whether this group truly raises the ceiling. Then we shift to spring football, where we're starting to get real signals out of practice. And today, we go position by position with our confidence rating, separating the groups that feel solid and dependable from the ones that still have major questions or need to prove it. You can find our show on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what we're doing, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, tell a Badger friend about it, share it with someone. Appreciate all the continued support of the show. Justin, how you doing, man? Happy Sunday. How you feeling today?
Good. I was just talking with you before we came on here. I got to work out for the first time since I messed my foot up like a month ago. Was happy that I wasn't like down on the floor in pain after running for a few minutes. So glad to see that. I need to do it. I need to get my butt back in shape for summer. So time to get rolling. But yeah, good things here. I'm really excited about what's been going on so far this week with the news we've been getting. Hopefully getting some more good news this week. Badgers seem to be rolling in a good way. And it's across the board. Sorry, not to cut you off, but
no.
Women's basketball got a couple of really nice transfer portal ads. Men's hockey got some massive ones, got a top-end goaltender and a top-end scorer for hockey, which were needed. Right now, somebody put out a tweet with the ratings of like the teams in the country that have had the best portal for hockey. Wisconsin is far and away number one, which awesome. If they can get a step up, a tick up from where they were, because one of the things I felt like, I don't know you watching that title game, they got scoring opportunities. I didn't feel like anyone was particularly gifted as a scorer on that last team. They were kind of grinders. If you can get somebody that's like has some real creativity and a bit like scoring threat, that team could be really dangerous heading into this year. And that's with a team that just went to the title game.
Yep. Man, that title game really burns me up. I was there. God damn it. It's awful. Awful to see that loss. Nonetheless, yeah, big week. Big week, as you already alluded to, Justin, in Badger sports. So we're going to start with basketball today. We're going to talk about the three new guys that are on this team, Trey Autry, Ion Elmer, and, of course, Victory Onyewetu. And listen, I think I'm saying his name right. I don't know. We're going to find out soon enough. And,
I'm not the guy to ask.
Yeah, you are definitely not the guy to ask. That's why I'm just saying it. I didn't even bring it up to you. So we're going to talk about those guys and then kind of how they fit in, projected starting lineups. Do we need more? Then we're going to go into spring football, of course, and just talk all through what we know and then confidence ratings. We do confidence ratings, you know, several times a year on this one. But this time we're going to kind of, now that we've got some spring buzz, how do we feel about the team? So put your stuff in the chat, of course, as always. Thank you for the support of the show. Let's start here. Every year, Greg Gard gets the sort of premier transfer guy for his team. We had AJ Store, we had John Tanjay, we had Nick Boyd. I think we've got him and Ion Elmer. He is our probably the start. Got to be the highest NIL dollar of any of the new transfers. 6'7" wing out of Miami of Ohio. Miami of Ohio, of course, team went almost undefeated throughout the year, 32-2. He averaged 12.7 points per game, 5.9 rebounds, 1.1 assists, shot 42.9% from the three-point line, 49, almost 50% from the field, can kind of score in different ways. Justin, let's just start with him. He clearly fits that need of the three. He's athletic. He's a wing. He can play D. Like, it looks like a really solid pickup for us.
Yeah, really well-rounded player. There's no other way to put it. This was a massive upgrade in the athleticism at the three. He has great length, really good defender. is a guy who can consistently shoot from the perimeter and is a guy who can get downhill a little bit and go to the rim, which is something Wisconsin sorely needed from that spot, and they were lacking this last year. So you have a guy that can kind of be your athletic wing that can be a 3 and D kind of guy, but also adds some ability to slash and get to the rim a little bit, which is something that Wisconsin hasn't had a ton of in recent years.
I don't know. I'm very curious to see how much of slashing that he can do. I agree with you, by the way. I think he can definitely put the ball in the deck and he can make something happen. You watch his film. Ultimately, he was playing in Miami of Ohio. Okay. They did not play a good schedule, but I just want to add, if he comes to the Big Ten, is he going to be able to get in? Is he athletic enough to actually be like a slasher to the basket? I don't know. He is going to be real. It's going to be very critical that he takes a step, by the way, which I think is an expectation that you can have as Greg Gard, because, you know, you're paying him a lot of money. He's kind of your premier transfer. If he takes a step and he can actually be a little even more creative than he already is offensively, that's going to be big. The stat for me, Justin, he's never shot below 40% from 3-point line. Never. 3 years in Miami, never once shot below 40%. That is an amazing statistic, to never be under 40%. On volume, by the way, he took 6.5 threes a game last year. That is really great. I mean, this guy clearly can score. He's an elite shooter, and he can defend. Hallelujah. Wisconsin has a perimeter defender, ladies and gentlemen. Someone can actually guard the perimeter at the end of the game when we need to shut someone down. You throw Elmer on him, and that's fantastic. Really, really exciting about that. But I wonder about his slashing ability, though, a little bit.
So what I will say with that is, if you have somebody who is a really capable facilitator, I think that takes some of the onus off of the player themselves having to create those opportunities, mm-hmm. which is more what I think is going to be where he's going to thrive. I don't think he's going to be a guy that you ISO out and put, you know, going downhill on somebody. I think it's going to be more working off Foxwell and opportunities where he's cutting and stuff like that, where he's athletic enough to, on the cut, get the ball and make plays. And that's where I think if this is done correctly based off the skill sets that they brought in, this needs to be a very heavy drive and kick offense, and it needs to have guys who are willing to come with Foxwell downhill and follow and allow him opportunities to dish when he gets in the paint. Because that is a place where a guy like him can really be effective. And a guy like Autry, who also has some of that ability, where you get the opportunity to, you know, really attack. And I think Autry even is a little bit better at putting the ball on the deck. But I think that they got more athletic overall with this. I do think that obviously Foxwell's a step back from Boyd in terms of what he was athletically. I'm not sure from a skill-wise standpoint that Foxwell isn't an upgrade there, which is where I look at it, where I just think he's a little more gifted at the stop and start type stuff, at going left or right and being less easy to kind of set up on the scouting report and be like, we're just going to do this with this guy. Because I think Foxwell, he's played enough pro that I think he can cover up some of his deficiencies. And he's got counter punches that I'm not sure that Boyd had a ton of.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's certainly a more skilled point guard. He's not a more skilled scorer in any way, shape, or form than Nick Boyd, of course, like that. And ultimately, we did have a lot of points that we lost on this team with Blackwell and Boyd. That's absolutely 40 points a game. And Elmer is a guy that he averaged 12.7 at Miami. And now he was the fourth leading scorer on that team. There were three guys that averaged above him, but still, that's a good total. And I think, he has to take a step up, but you know, Winter's got to eat up more points. Like that just has to be it. And I think you think Foxwell's going to score in the teens potentially. So, you know, that can really kind of be where hopefully that stuff gets eaten up. Kevin S7072, athletes versus shooters. When you recruit an athlete, you get an athlete. When you recruit a shooter, you might get someone like Rhodey. Curious, Kevin, as to what you think about these guys, whether they're the athletes. I think Elmer's a good athlete, and I think we got some decent athletes in this portal hall. And Rhodey was not an athlete, but unlike Rhodey, I think Autry and Elmer are both decent athletes. Now, I'm not saying they're super athletic guys. They're not, but you got to admit, Elmer's one of the more athletic guys we've had on this team.
I think both him and Autry are. And that's saying something, because I think that Wisconsin has gotten by at the guard position on a lot of skill and not a lot of athleticism. And I think that that's where you're hoping that when you get here, you can kind of merge the two a little bit. Would I say that those two guys are going to be in the upper quarter of the Big Ten in terms of athleticism? No, I wouldn't say that. Do I think they're better than what we've had in the past? I absolutely do. I think that they do give some ability that they can attack if a defense starts to collapse a little too much on a guy like Foxwell. Those guys are athletic enough to punish you a little bit on it, which is something we haven't had a ton of.
Yeah. And I apologize. I was going to pull up film for these guys, and then we moved up the show a little bit. I'm actually, I got some plans this evening, so we couldn't do it at our normal time slot of 9 p.m. Central. But I was going to pull up that stuff. But definitely go out on YouTube and look for all the film out there. You can easily find plenty of video from all these guys. So go check that out. The next I want to talk about is one of my favorites in here, because as Justin and I say a lot, rim protection, which I know our compatriot over there on Locked On, Ryan, does not think, he thinks it's a little bit overrated, but he and I had a good discussion about it yesterday. And I think there's an important element to this. Victory Onyewetu, 6'10". He's only 6'10". I think he might be 6'11", but he is a big dude. He's 235 pounds. If you just watch the film on this guy, he is a big dude. Out of Hofstra, played in 35 games last year, started 17 of them, 18 minutes a game, 4.7 points, 7 rebounds. But let me give you a couple of good stats on this guy. His defensive rebounding percentage is over 25%, which means that every time the ball goes up and he's a defender, he gets every quarter of them. His overall rebounding percentage is like 21, which would put him in the way upper echelon of the Big Ten, definitely higher than anyone else on our team. Now, we know Nolan Winter was a good rebounder. He has like a 21 defensive rebound percentage. So this guy really is an elite rebounder. He is not a scorer. He shoots 49% from the free throw line. That is a problem because obviously, you know, we know he is literally the prototypical, I'm going to stand in the middle of the paint. I'm going to make it difficult for you guys to score. I'm not going to let some straight line drive come all the way through. He's got size. He's a backup five, basically, to Winter, or maybe it's Garlock or whatever. I like this pickup. No offensive flashy numbers out there. If you're looking for them, you're not going to find them. But what you are going to find is a guy that can rebound, that can affect a lot of shots. And if our perimeter defense isn't working well, he's the last line of defense at the rim to actually make it a little bit more hard for people to score. I'm very happy, Justin, that we got a rim protector. Very, sure. Very happy.
You can argue that rim protection doesn't matter. But when you're a team like Wisconsin that's consistently getting beat because teams are straight line driving to the rim, and that's why you're losing games, how many teams beat us because they just went off from three this last year? I don't think there were any that shot like crazy off the charts from three against us. We had teams that were consistently, when we lost games, able to just score at will at the rim. Mm-hmm. And that's been the biggest issue. You get a couple of guys now that you think are probably better defenders, and we've heard some information back and forth about whether Autry is meant to be a rotational guy or whether he's meant to be a starter. We'll see. You know, I don't think we're done in the portal here. There might be some other ads. There might be a guy that they look at that's a potential guy where they're like, he's a young guy that maybe didn't hit yet, and we want some opportunity here for him to maybe blossom a little bit. But the way I look at this is you've got to get somebody in that middle that can at least affect some shots and create some problems when a team starts going off. And that's like, how much would this guy have helped in those games? Some of the games, especially like our NCAA game, if you had somebody in the middle that was just able, you could throw in there for 5 minutes just to disrupt things when the other team is just consistently attacking downhill.
Very well said.
Such a huge difference.
100%. The disruption. Listen, he's not, he played 17 minutes a game at Hofstra. He had 7 rebounds in those 17 minutes. Like per 40, he's averaging about 15 and a half rebounds a game per 40. So like, he's going to be an effective rebounder, and he's going to, as you say, disrupt potential drives. And honestly, he's minutes off the bench. If Nolan Winter gets in foul trouble, or if Nolan Winter wants to play at the four, he can play at the five. If Garlock's going to play there, whatever happens here, like, it gives you some flexibility. It gives you some multiplicity. It gives you a multi-dimensional look on defense and offense. Like, ultimately, he's not a five-out kind of guy. He can't stretch the floor. Like, I get that he doesn't fit the mold that we had this year. But let me tell you something. Like, Alexis Biliauskas, right? He's basically replacing Alexis Biliauskas. Now, Biliauskas is clearly a better offensive player, but was not a good defender at all and could not be relied upon to guard any of the bigs in the Big Ten. This guy can't. So you look at the starting lineup. Obviously, we'll talk about the whole starting lineup later. But Rapp and Winter are going to start at the four and five. And if Garlock comes in there to play five a little bit, or you know, victory. Now, all of a sudden, you can theoretically slide Winter to the four, play his natural position if victory can actually be in there a bit more. It's just, it gives us more options. It gives us some, the ability to change things up a little bit. And here's the thing. It's a need that we had. And I appreciate that Greg Gard addressed a need that we had. So look, he might not be the flashiest player, and that's fine with me, but I'm happy that we got some rim protection and someone that can eat up a little fouls. And I like that. I really, really like that.
Who is the dude from Western Kentucky? His name is slipping for me, that we had a couple of years back. It's basically the role you're looking for us this next coming year, where he's a guy who can just come in and cause some problems here and there when things are getting out of hand. And I think that he's capable of giving you some of that, where he's just a guy who's a big body in the middle, who is capable of blocking some shots and rebounding and potentially being a good defensive player. Now, offensively, he's basically a putback dunk kind of guy. Like, there's not going to be much there for you to do with him offensively, which is fine. I think they have enough offensive in the big between Rapp and Winter that you probably feel pretty good. And I think that Garlock has some upside there to be able to be a guy who's a somewhat capable scorer. So vote yes. That's who I was thinking of, Bartz. And if you get somebody that can do what he did, like, he was a really important player for that team. If that's what you're getting from Victory, that'd be great. Like, if he's giving you 10 strong minutes a game where he comes in and he just kind of mucks things up a little bit for the other team when they want to kind of attack, when we have a lead, awesome. That's really all you're looking for from
him. Yeah, agreed. I'm not going to fight you on that one. All right, third guy up is Trey Autry, a 6'4", 210-pound guard. Played from George Washington, played and started all 34 games for a decent team in the A-10. 29 minutes, 11 points a game, 3.5 rebounds, 1.5 assists, shot 43% from the field, shot 39% from three, 81% from the line. He is an elite shooter. Ryan has done a good breakdown on him. He's an elite shooter. Two, both these guys. We already talked about Elmer. Elmer and Autry, both elite shooters. He's likely, Justin, going to be starting at the two guard now when you remove Blackwell from the situation. I think we need more at the two guard, but what are your overall thoughts on what you see from Autry? You think you like his athleticism, you mentioned, right?
Yeah, I think both of them are better athletes than what we had, which is, I think, important for this team. Needed an upgrade of athleticism. I would like to see them go out there and have him be more of like our backup guard in this offense or with this team. I think you go out there and you get a guy that has some potential now that maybe hasn't fully taken off, is what I would like to see. That is a kind of a better athlete. And unfortunately, a lot of those guys are going for really high dollars right now. So you'd have to be looking at something where you're probably looking at a guy where it's going to cost you $750,000 to get somebody who may be turning into a 10 game or 10 point per game guy, but has a ton of upside to turn into a really good player. You know, to get a young guy that maybe is leaving one of the other teams and just isn't getting opportunity. Whether they'll do something like that, I have no idea. I don't know what the budget is. I know it's not what they want it to be. So it really depends on how much Winter chewed up or is going to chew up and what you're looking at between him and Rapp and what's left over. I don't think a lot of the other guys are really chewing up a ton of money on this roster, but I'm sure everybody's getting at least something decent. You know, whether it's a couple hundred grand or whatever. So hopefully you can get some, I think you need one more big piece as like your starting two guard now would be where I would go. And it's obviously not going to be a Blackwell level player, but you're looking for somebody that's got upside and maybe hasn't fully taken off yet.
Yeah. I feel like it's likely going to be someone like that or just someone who's going to fill depth. I think it seems like Autry's going to start because, and Ryan made this point yesterday, it's very true. Like he's not, 34 starts at George Washington. He's not coming for his final year of eligibility to play off the bench. I just don't really see that, right? Like when you think about that, he started every game in the A-10. Is he really going to come here just to not be the starter or to not be a massive 25 plus minute contributor a game? He's not.
Well, he could have been that. Like there's a chance that they looked at him as a combo guard and they're like, okay, if we do this, because do you think he could slide to the three? In situation,
no, I think he's a 1-2 kind of a guy.
Okay. They could have sold him on being the sixth man here, and you're going to get 20 plus minutes a game, and you're going to be in the Big Ten, which I think is a possibility. Which also, financially, you know, George Washington, I'm sure, can afford something, but it may not be what we would be paying our sixth man. So it's really hard to say in that regard. Honestly, I think you need another piece. It will be really interesting to see how some of these young pieces grow. The freshman class, I think we all agreed during the season that we thought that it was actually a pretty darn good class. Mm-hmm. Now the question is going to be how much of they have grown. Now, obviously, losing Bielskis is going to be a problem because he was one of the parts that we really liked out of that group. But I actually think Jones is going to be a guy that it can play well at the 2 and 3 2 and provide something. I think he's likely to take a pretty big step. And if he can become even just a little bit more fluid and a little bit better athlete now that he's been in a strength and conditioning program, that's a big deal for Wisconsin because I actually thought his instincts were pretty good for a freshman.
Yeah, so one of the reasons that I don't think they're necessarily going to get anyone else is because of the fact that you've got Kinzinger and Jones. Don't forget about one of Greg Gard's favorite players, Mr. Jack Janicki. He's going to be out there getting minutes. Like it's unreasonable to think that he won't. And then I do think we could see a guy like Jackson Ball play meaningful minutes next year as a freshman, right? You mentioned how good the class was. Like, I don't know if Fenderson's going to get minutes, but I think Ball definitely could. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how this rotation really shakes out, but it seems like you're looking at a Foxwell, Autry, Elmer, Rapp, Winter starting five, which not bad, not incredible. Again, you lost a lot of offense. You lost 40 points a game from two guys, but Winter picks up a little bit. Rapp obviously can score. He's going to hopefully take a jump. And then if Elmer can really be that premier transfer portal guy, we should be okay because you've got, again, elite shooters all over the board. And Autry really could surprise us and be really strong.
There's a lot of people asking about Davion Hanna from Alabama. I have no idea if there's interest there or not. I know a lot of people have brought him up because he's in the portal. Wisconsin was in on him to begin with. They've wanted him badly. I have no clue. I have no clue what his market is. As somebody who was a very high-end high school recruit, if that value is still even remotely there from him leaving and jumping into the portal, if some team is like, maybe he just needs a change of scenery, Wisconsin's probably not involved. If he's coming back here and we can get him at a reasonable value and he wants an opportunity just for playing time, then yeah, that might be an amazing opportunity for Wisconsin. I think it would be great if that's the case. But if he requires a significant amount of money with no production really to show for it, I just can't see Gard diving down that rabbit hole and saying, we're going to give you big bucks when I don't know what I'm going to get from you on the court this year.
Yeah, and listen, we've already got three guys in there. I think Zach says it well. Hanna would command a lot of money, as you mentioned. I'm not sure we'll go all in for him with what we already got. Yeah, like, we know money's a problem here. And it's going to come up again in this next comment that I have starred from Tyler Strieber, and I want your opinion on this, Justin. Are you concerned our transfers are from the lower level, not getting anyone from an equivalent Power Four school? We've got a couple questions about this. I'll go first on this one. My thought is, first of all, we're gonna have to deal with this because of the money situation with NIL. It matters. Power Four guys that are leaving command more money. Look at our guys. Look at John Blackwell, what he's going to get paid to either go to Duke or UCLA. Or if he goes to UCLA, I would be so pissed, but whatever. That's so annoying to me. And nonetheless, I'm not overly concerned because I trust Greg Gard and he's done really well in the portal. And I don't, it's easy for us to, as fans, just sit here and be like, oh, we didn't get anybody from Power Four. That's fine. But does it really matter? Like, can they play at this level? We don't know. Does Greg Gard know? He's got a better chance of knowing than we do. And I trust his judgment here. I am a little bit concerned, but honestly, like, Boyd was at San Diego State and FAU. Like, it wasn't a major level. Like, yes, it wasn't Power Four technically. And I think we found good players not from big schools. And as long as that continues, I'm going to have to put my trust in Greg Gard. I'm not overly concerned also because the athleticism is obviously a jump, which we know that. And elite shooting is elite shooting wherever you really are. If you can shoot 43% from behind the line, you're not going to have a horrible year in the Big Ten just because it was somewhere else. I think that translates fairly well. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I don't see – like, I think college basketball is just different. I think there are guys kind of littered throughout the entire nation when it comes to that. It's not like you only find good players at the Power Four level. What I do think it is, when you're Wisconsin, you're looking at it and you're saying, if we have two players rated the same, one of them's at a Power Four school and one of them's down at in the MAC or wherever, you're going to inevitably get that other guy cheaper simply because people are going to view him as a less known product. And I don't know that there's a significant difference between us getting a guy that's at North Carolina State that's averaging 8 points per game or getting a guy who's averaging 12 in the MAC. You're probably looking at roughly the same thing, but I bet you that guy that's averaging 8 points per game at North Carolina State is probably getting at least 100 grand more simply because he's been somewhat productive in a Power Four conference. And I just don't see the value there. We've seen too many players prove that they can play on the same court against Power Four teams when they're playing at some of these smaller schools. But I just don't think it's the value is there for you to chase after them just because they're in the Power Four.
I think that is a really good point. That's a really good point. Like, we've seen over and over that these guys can compete. Listen, a basketball team is small, right? There's just more, there's more good athletes and good players to spread around more teams because there's not like you're having a 100-man roster like you do in football. Tyler says, I get what you're saying, Rajiv, but guard's not going to bat 1,000 forever. At some point, he's bound to swing and miss. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but we're expecting him to be perfect in the portal. What I expect him to do is to maximize what he can get for his money. And I think he's done a great job with that. Ultimately, it's not guard's fault that the NIL dollars are not there. You could argue that it is because he hasn't won in the tournament. And if that's your argument, that's a fair one. But ultimately, he has what he has. And I'm content with what he's done in the portal in previous years. And frankly, I'm pretty content with what I've seen from him now. I think we might get another body, but it's a depth piece. I think our starting lineup is pretty much all laid out. And I don't think we're really gonna get any more. And along those lines, Justin Bodragon asks, this team would get destroyed by last year's team with Boyd. What do you think about that?
Probably. Well, it would be really interesting. So here's what I'll say on this. I think this team would be better defensively than what you saw from the other. What I will say is it's going to look very different. It's not going to be a guard that's going to be super ball dominant like you had. Foxwell is going to be a distributor. He is going to get things. He's going to facilitate things, but he's going to ultimately keep the ball moving, which is just, it's so hard to quantify how that is different. I mean, you can go to the NBA and look at how many point guards were super athletes. And then Steve Nash goes out there and carves them up, and people look at Steve Nash like he is like bottom, like rung of NBA point guard athleticism. Well, he was a really good passer. He's a really good shooter. And he was super skilled and understood the game very well. Those things matter. And from a skill standpoint and from an understanding the game and playing, this is a really experienced guard and a guy like Foxwell. It's just going to look different in terms of how they do things. So they could be a really high-level team. Do I think that last year's team was ultimately better? I do. Because I think when it comes, push comes to shove, the X factor guy is that you had a guy like Boyd that can just be like, F it, I'm going to the rim. And this team is not going to have that. There's nobody that I look at with what is on the roster right now that I'm like, this guy is, I can get myself a reasonably good look anytime I want it.
I will say that this team is going to be better defensively. And that's an important thing to me. Now, you could say Boyd did a pretty decent job at times, but ultimately we didn't have a good lockdown perimeter defender. I think we do now with Elmer. We've got some rim protection and in a backup five role. Offensively, we're not going to be as good as last year. No, John Blackwell and Nick Boyd were elite scorers. We're not going to have that. And I don't know the jump that Elmer's going to take. I'm not sure what Autry's really going to bring, except we know they're going to shoot. But I think, as you've mentioned a few times now, and you're right about this, Foxwell's kind of our X factor. If he can be the key distributor and open things up for this offense, then that we could look a lot different because we have a true floor general point guard, which we haven't had in a while. Chucky was kind of like that. But we'll see. I mean, it's going to be interesting.
Chucky was still a scoring point, though. This guy is more of a true point.
Yeah, he is.
Which will be really interesting to see.
Yeah. All right, let's switch gears to, of course, spring football, one of our favorite topics to talk about on the show. We're going to do some confidence ratings, go by position, just kind of quick out of 10, how you're feeling about the position. But before that, let's just hit some news and notes, Justin. What were some of the key things that came out this week that you wanted to highlight that kind of caught your eye?
Well, Abu Sama coming back on the field and showing out a little bit. It sounds like Big Kev has been getting acclimated and really playing well at right tackle.
No surprise.
I don't think anybody was worried about that on our end, but I think there were people that weren't sure what to make of it. We felt like he was going to probably be, and I still have felt, you know, as long as he came back healthy, he was going to be probably one of our best offensive linemen. But it sounds like the offensive line is starting to click, which if that's the case and you have Mandel out, that is a note that I'll put out there. I don't know if everyone knows. Mandel had surgery. He's probably not going to be back till fall. Well, I mean, he won't be back till fall. But so right now, what this means is you're going to have some young guards that are going to get some opportunity to get really good quality reps to hopefully build up your depth a little bit, because you're going to be going against some decent interior defensive linemen for the remainder of camp, which will hopefully give you an opportunity to develop yourself a little bit. And that's only going to help come the season, because we hope to stay healthy and we hope everything goes right. But I think honestly, right now, we just want to know that we feel good about the second string, because I actually feel pretty good about the starting offensive line. You and I don't necessarily agree on that. I know you and Ryan, but I actually feel like
they're coming together. I'm so nervous about the offensive line. I'm not nervous about Austin Kwecky and Kevin Haywood, but I'm nervous about kind of everybody else. I'm not. That's just me being real. And again, just my thoughts. Okay, so quickly on the Mandel thing, who's your, like, let's say this does go all the way to fall and he doesn't start fall camp. Like, who fills his spot at that right guard spot?
I know Blake Cherry's been getting some time there. It'll be interesting to see if Styles Blackman gets some time there. I would say that those are two probably the most likely given right now. Basically, you're going to probably slot in Coverley at left guard, and then right guard is going to be one of those two guys that's going to fill in. But I still think you need Mandel back.
Yeah.
He's the step up from that, like, not that those two guys are bad, but, like, you want to have another big kind of bruiser in there that he adds to that. And I think that, you know, physically he's there in terms of, like, his body is there. And I think that we both feel like from an athleticism standpoint, he really fits that spot well. So to me, I want that extra one. I think Cherry could grow into being a really good player this year if given the reps, but I think it's going to take a little bit more time for him. I would like to have Mendo back.
For sure. No, we need that for 100%. So for me, the thing that caught my eye, of course, this week, and many of you probably read it, Colton Joseph had a solid week of practice, a really good Saturday. I mean, look, we know that defense kind of rules the roost at the beginning of these things, and then offense kind of slowly moves into play. We were talking before the show started about how this is a guy that he's not a traditional, I'm going to just do this and do this well. He is a slasher. He is a creative quarterback that's going to move out of the pocket. He's going to find plays. He's going to create his own type of offense in a sense, right? He's just going to find ways to get plays done. And he's looking good. He's looking really good. And I'm really happy with what I'm seeing out of him. And ultimately, I'm just happy that we haven't seen a lot of negative things. I'm not expecting the offense to look great at all in spring ball. I'm just expecting some of our transfers to, like, look like they belong here. And it's clear that Colton Joseph does, and he is going to absolutely, you know, be our starter. We know, but he's going to be really good.
So what I was thinking about this, and what I thought about was, the thought process went through on this about how I would equate this to kind of explain why I think that Joseph isn't necessarily going to show drilling as well as when you go live and just let her rip. It's kind of like what makes Caleb Williams special, is that you watch him at quarterback, and from a drill standpoint, he kind of can look pretty blasé at times. Like, he's not a guy that's going to go out there and let her rip and just dominate. Like, I'm going to do this drill work and be perfect at it. And look like Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball around from an accuracy standpoint. But when things kind of break down and are going all over the place, that's what makes Caleb Williams special. That's kind of the same thing that makes Colton Joseph special. When things aren't perfect, he's a guy who has an ability to create situations that other quarterbacks can't with his athleticism and ability to move. Is he a guy that I look at and say he's going to go out there and he's going to pass 70%+ completion percentage and just be throwing darts all over the place like Mendoza? No, I think he's going to be a guy that's going to go out there and hopefully gets into the low to mid 60s and ends up being a guy who can consistently scare the crap out of a defense with his legs, which I think is is going to create opportunities through the air where you have guys making choices on the defense. That's what you ultimately, he's a battle of attrition type quarterback where if he breaks a couple of runs on you, suddenly you have linebackers getting really antsy if they're in zone or even in man, because they're afraid to stay with their man and let him just get the corner and go. And he's going to break off 10, 15 yards here. And when a guy takes a step up, suddenly you're giving you an opportunity to just dink it over their head and pick up 10 to 15 yards.
Yeah. Other names that have popped this week, Deuce Adams continues to get a lot of good buzz out of spring camp. Eugene Hilton, my boy there, of course. Shamar Rigby is a name that I've heard a lot this week. And then also defensively, Marvin Burks, Mason Posa. I mean, no surprise, Mason Posa is going to be he's the best player on this team. Like, we all knew it. Stop it. He's incredible.
Do you think he's going to be all conference this year?
Hell yes, he's going to be all conference. Dude, the dude's coming on.
I actually think he will. It sounds like we haven't had somebody as adept at blitzing from the center as him since the cat that was on the same team or same group with Bond. Who is the one that was in the Orr? He's the best interior blitzer that we've had since Orr.
Look, he came in the middle of last season, and in a short span on a not very good team, was one of the best inside linebackers in the conference at the back half of last season.
He made second or third team all conference.
He changed our entire outlook on defense last year. He is 100% a first team all Big Ten inside linebacker. He's exactly who, frankly, we thought he was. Like, I loved his film. You loved his film. Ryan loved his film. Like, he was my number one guy coming in that class. I'm so pumped that he's turned out to be as good as he is, and he's absolutely going to be fantastic. But we keep hearing his name as well. We'll talk more about a lot of these positions as we kind of get into this. Let's do some position confidence ratings. Yeah. Confidence ratings we're going to do out of 10. Again, we've done out of 100%. We'll do different ways. We do this at different times of the year. We'll do it again, obviously, in the summer as we approach fall, but kind of mid spring. Spring's nearing a close next week. And of course, we'll come to a close at some point. I don't know when the spring game is or when the last day is, but whatever. We're getting near that end. So let's start on the offensive side. We'll go to the defensive side, of course, after that. So just give me, Justin, out of 10, how confident you are in this group and what you've seen out of spring practice, all collectively, the roster, things you've heard, issues that have come up, all those things collectively, how confident are you that this group is going to have a successful season? Quarterbacks, where are you at with quarterbacks?
7.5. And I say that because I feel very confident in the depth that is on this group. I think Adams is a legitimately quality backup quarterback. And I think there's room for movement upwards on this, depending upon what Joseph does once the season actually starts. But I actually think that he's going to be at a minimum a solid Big Ten quarterback. And I think you have a strong backup. And I think you have someone who can hopefully grow during the season that potentially can be a wild card at the number three quarterback in Hopkins. So I think that's about as good as you can expect, other than having a stud at your starter coming in ready to go.
Yeah, I'm a little bit higher. I'm probably more than 8.5 on this. I'm really confident.
I actually was going to say 8, and I was like, am I being a little too...
I feel very good about the room. I feel really good about Deuce Adams. He's like literally every single practice,
I like him a lot.
Someone is talking good things about Deuce Adams, and he's our backup quarterback. So I feel really good about it. I'm happy with the way the quarterbacks are. Ryan Hopkins, I've talked about him so much. I'm a super big fan of Ryan Hopkins. I think he's going to be our future quarterback. And I like him a lot. So again, you look at that depth and you still got Carter Smith in there. Yeah. Very happy with quarterbacks, very pleased with what I'm seeing out of Colton Joseph. And ultimately, you know, we should be in a good spot there. Running back, I'll go first on this one. For me, also kind of an 8.5. I feel really happy about this group. Nothing really concerns me. Sama Jackson, Dupree should be a very, very good room running behind an improved offensive line. I think Abu Sama defines Wisconsin football in so many ways. He fits in seemingly so well here. I also think when you have a guy like Dupree is still on your roster, you get a lot of offensive work to cap out of the backfield, right? He brings an ability to out of the passing game that's really unique and good. And Jackson, again, can run the ball. I think I'm really happy with this room. I've got zero issues. Nothing is like giving me concern at quarterback or running back.
Yeah, and to clarify on this so everyone understands, we're not saying that this is the score of like the talent level in the room. We're saying this is our confidence that the room is going to be a solid quality room.
Yeah. Yep.
I would agree. I think it's an 8.5, roughly in that range. I think you have three bodies that you feel good about. Sounds like Dupree's had a really good camp so far, and Jackson and Abu Sama have both been really good additions. Sama sounds like he might be a guy that is legitimately like a high-end Big Ten starter based off of what we're hearing from some of the things. I don't remember hearing anyone be as positive about a running back that we've had in the last several years in terms of how they've looked in camp. And that's probably going back all the way to Braylon, because we can get into some of the running back play that we saw there. Other than him, I thought Braylon was pretty good. But if we can get back to having somebody that can be 5.5 yards a carry, this offense changes a lot this year.
Yeah. Now the numbers are going to drop a little bit. Let's go outside to the wide receivers and talk about that group. Decent things we've heard out of this group overall, but what are your thoughts? And also, so answer this, give me, and put this in the comments also, if you're listening live or later, give me your confidence in this group. And also, I want to know, who do you think will be the leading receiver on the, as of where we are right now?
That's a good question. Honestly, I would say it's a 6.5. I think there will be production there to a degree, but I feel really uncomfortable not knowing who is going to lead that room. And that makes me worry about, if we need a play and somebody's got to get it done, who are you going to? Because I don't think that guy has identified himself, and I haven't heard anyone consistently popping in these reports that says this guy has consistently been. Now, no, to be clear, nobody's been bad, but there's hasn't been the level of confidence that you'd hear where somebody is really showing out and stacking good days together. And that's always a concern. I think, man, there are so many guys I could put as who I think is going to end up being the big one. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say it's going to be Rigby.
Man, I've been a big fan of Rigby's ever since he kind of signed with us. And I know a lot of people weren't as high on him as I was when he signed, but I like him a lot. Obviously, I think Eugene Hilton is the class of that room, but I want to say
DiMaggio.
That, yeah, I mean, we got to learn how to say, I mean, if that's what if,
it is DiMaggio. I'm positive.
You are not the person that knows how positive to say names.
No, but I'm positive because somebody corrected me on him. Like, there's like, I was DiMaggio. Like, phonetically speaking, that does not sound like how you're supposed to say that.
Listen, I need people in the comments to confirm if he's saying DiMaggio correctly. We're going to find out. I'm going to call someone and find
I
out.
Swear but, God, it's no, correct.
I'm still saying Domingo. Nonetheless, Chris Brooks is an interesting guy that I feel like maybe this is the year that Chris Brooks finally becomes the guy that he's wanted to be. He has been a journeyman in this room. He works hard. He's clearly one of the leaders of this team and a leader of the wide receiver group. Certainly one of the leaders of the offense. Sounds like he's got a pretty good rapport going with Joseph. I'm still going to say that Hilton will be my leading receiver, but I think this could be a year that Chris Brooks kind of breaks out and becomes a dude. I'm basically a 6 on this room overall right now, because I just don't, there's not a singular stud guy that you're like, he's going to get open. Joseph's going to be able to find him and he's going to be able to score points. I think we've got a lot of potential in this room. That's no doubt. We've got a lot of potential, but I don't know that we have a bona fide star.
Who do we look at? Let's break this down once. Who do we think are the guys that are capable of being the number one receiver, like most catches?
I think Hilton has that capability for Hilton? Sure.
DiMaggio.
Okay. DiMaggio.
Rigby.
Yeah.
You say Brooks.
I think Brooks could. Yeah.
Who else? There's more here. Kearney. Possibly. I don't know. I haven't. Like that one's, I don't think Coleman's going to be that type of receiver. I think he feels much more like a guy who's just going to have a lot of, may break a couple of big catches than a guy who's going to give you 4 or 5 catches a game. Who else do we, slot guy.
Tyrell Henry?
Yes. Henry is a guy who potentially could put himself in there. So you're looking at, this is where it gets tough. You have legitimately 4 or 5 guys that you're looking at. And like, I don't even know where to go with starters. That's the part that's so hard with this. Like, we have 2 guys that I think we feel pretty confident are not going to be having a big role this year. And that's the freshmen, or 3 guys. So the 3 freshmen seem pretty unlikely to be in Legree, Brock and Thibodeau.
Yeah.
I think that those three, you're probably hoping to redshirt unless one of them just goes off. And I haven't heard it. Like, we've seen hints here and there, but I haven't seen anybody that's gone off. Brock's had a couple of nice grabs, but it doesn't sound like he's like climbing up the ladder and putting himself into playing time right now. So we'll see what happens, but legitimately you have five guys and they could shake out so many different ways in terms of who ends up being the number one receiver.
Yeah. It's definitely a question mark heading into the season. Tight end, how are you feeling about tight end this year?
That's a 7.5 for me. I think there's a lot of capable bodies there. And I think that there's guys who can provide production. I think you feel good about Harris as a pass catcher. I think that Steck is going to be a guy. It sounds like Bork has taken a step. So you have at least four tight ends that you feel pretty good about.
Agreed. Very, very similar. I'm actually an 8 on this room. I feel good about it. I like Grant Steck a lot, but yeah, Bork, Harris has clearly been a pass catcher. Schwendeman, there's a lot of guys on this team that I feel like we should be in a pretty good spot. And obviously, we lost like the Tucker Ashcrafts of the world. McGowan has actually moved over into the receivers room. But yeah, very, very pleased with this room. And I think we also still have Nazai Davis as well on this roster. So
young guys, he's a guy that can also. On yet, but yeah, all the talent in the world.
Probably his next 2 years or when he's going to show up. But still, yeah, really, really think Jacob Harris is clearly going to be that guy. So I'm happy with that. Okay, give me your O-line. Give me your O-line confidence rating here. Then I'll tell you mine.
I think it's a 7 for me. I feel good about the starters. I think the starting offensive line is going to be a step up from what we've seen. I still have questions about the second line and what level they're going to be at. And do I think we can handle a couple of big injuries and having somebody have to go out there that jumps from one of the other spots? I think Simmons might be okay, but I'm not sure that that Reisky's ready to go out there yet. I'm not sure how I feel about Corey at center. I'm not sure I feel about either of the guards in that group coming up. So it starts to get to the point where you're like, all right, what type of real depth? Because you need to have a swing tackle. You need to have a swing interior offensive lineman, and you'd like to have a second center. Corey's got to get more consistent. Like we're still hearing about snapping issues with him. That you're in your third year now. That stuff needs to be gone. Like you need to figure out that stuff where there's a level of consistency at this point. Like you've got to be a viable backup. And that's where my concern is with him. I don't know. What's your thoughts on this? I think you're lower than me.
I'm like 5.5 or 6. I just listen, and I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, very clear. I got two guys that I'm very happy with, and it's Kwecki and Haywood. I feel very comfortable about that. Last year, and our seeing one of the worst, one of the worst offensive lines we've ever seen at Wisconsin is so. I have PTSD from watching Davis Heinzen at left tackle in that first game. And I just don't know. So for me, when I look at the tackles, I'm focused on the tackles here first. And yeah, I'm fine with Haywood. And if Haywood's moving to the right, that's fine. But Wilkins on the left, I don't know. Now, if he's going to take left over Haywood, they must really like what they're seeing from him, and that's fine. But who's backing them up? Like, is it Simmons? But then what do you have? Are we still going back to the Barrett Nelson days? Like, I don't know, man. I feel like one injury, we are in the exact same position we were in last spring. When Kevin Haywood went down, our line went to basically crap. I'm just being honest, okay? How are we any better? How are we any better than we were last year? Now, Haywood's not injured. That's why. But if we lose one of those guys.
I disagree. I think that the guys that you have are a little bit more polished than what we had last year. And Simmons, at least, I feel pretty confident about him. He's probably your swing tackle. And you have the flexibility of Mandel when he comes back, say if something were to happen. I think that you have some moves you can make there. Mandel can potentially be shifted around and you move, you know, if something happens to Kevin, you have Mandel who can go to right. Or if something happens to Wilkins, you can move Kevin to left and then play Mandel at right. So there's some flexibility with this that I don't think we necessarily had last year. And I do think that Simmons is a guy who could potentially come up. Do I think that he's perfect yet? No. Do I think he's better probably than what Heinzen was last year? Yes. I do think athletically he's a much better athlete. Royce Gate, experience-wise, concerns me. Like, you have a guy who's really hasn't seen the field. So I'm a little worried about throwing him to the Wolves if it comes to extended playing time. I honestly, this year, I'd like to see him have some games where we just win running away and he can get out there and have some series where he gets film and he gets some confidence. But most of the guys in the second line, I don't feel super great about. But I think Simmons is probably your swing tackle. And I assume that Blackman is probably your interior swing tackle. It sounds like he's been getting some center play too, a little bit. So him and Corey, it's going to be one of those two at that spot. Corey has to take this and start running with it though. Like,
I mean, all these young guys, we've got a litany of young guys on this roster with Davenport, Roski and Clark and Cubberly and Corey and Watts and Powell. I mean, there's so many young offensive linemen who will by next year, hopefully be ready to be provide meaningful minutes and snap. So yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that. I just wanted another tackle.
Oh, for
and
sure.
I would have been happy. I just wanted another tackle. And listen, if Wilkins and Haywood are healthy all year, then fine. Then we could be okay. But last year, really, I've just never been so shocked to watch the way a Wisconsin offensive line played. And I hope it never happens again.
I have heard, it sounds like Wilkins is far and away better than anything that we saw from Heinzen last year.
Good.
And it also sounds like, yes, he's not perfect yet. He's a guy you could tell has switched back to that spot, but that there is growth happening there. And that at times he looks really good and he's being coached hard. Sounds like Mateus is really on him. So I know he feels good about him in terms of what he's capable of. So I think what you're looking at that left spot, you're hoping that he can be solid and that Kevin can be dominant on the right. And that the interior offensive line can just be some maulers. If that's the case, we'll have a pretty good season. Saturday's practice sounds like the run game really played well.
Yeah. And we also lost our most experienced offensive lineman as well, in Joe Brunner. He's obviously going to the national champion Indiana Hoosiers now. So, like, that's crazy to even say out loud, national champion Indiana Hoosiers. My God, it's disgusting. But listen, yeah, Mateus is really an X factor. I mean, you brought him up, like, that's a very, he's a new coach. Obviously we weren't really pleased with what we had before. So the line could be fine. We'll see. We'll see about depth. That's my issue. Defensively, we'll start with defensive line on the interior, the defensive line. How are you feeling about those guys?
I'm way higher than you are on this.
Yep.
Because I'm going to be at an 8.
That's absurd.
I think that Hammond Russell, it sounds like, has been really good in camp. Poyser's been really good. I think you have other bodies that are capable of backing them up. You have a ton of size, so I don't think that that's going to be a problem there. And the defense has honestly been really good so far. And we're hearing the thing I'll say right off of this, if you want to know how the defensive line's playing, we are hearing a lot about the linebackers. And if you're hearing a lot about the linebackers, that means the defensive line's doing their job. So
that's very, 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 very good point. Yes.
So I feel really good about this. Now, do I think there's going to be guys who are going to be terrorizing the backfield? No. Do I think they're capable of doing their job? I think you have a guy like Poyser who's going to be cause some nice disruption here and there. But I don't think there's anybody – there's no Keanu Benton in this group that I'm looking at that's just going to be a dominant force on the interior. I just think collectively it's going to be a really strong group.
Is there a Ben Barton on this in this group?
Yeah, I think there's a chance that you have a couple of guys that are capable of providing maybe not exactly what he did. Like, I don't think there are going to be guys that are going to get blocked kicks. But are there guys that I feel can be really stout in the middle and be cause some havoc a little bit? I think Russell's capable of that. I think Poyser's capable of that. I think you have potentially who's the other big guy that we brought back from that jumped the portal and the transfer portals opened and came back? Perkins.
Perkins. I just said Perkins. Yeah.
Perkins, another big body. So I think you have a lot of pieces that you feel good about that have the size that you're looking for and have some good athleticism. And I think that that's where it is. Now, Barton was really good.
Yes.
I think you're looking at more of like eating that up in terms of the overall collective of the group rather than having one guy necessarily be that. But I think there's more depth actually this year than there was last year.
And that may be, and look, like, Barton surprised us last year, and Barton, in my opinion, was the reason our defensive line...
We absolutely did not think he was going to be that good heading into the season.
And Barton was the reason that our defensive line was as good as it was last year, in my opinion. Like, we became a good run-stopping force. Obviously, those linebackers coming in helped a lot with that, but our defensive line played really well, and it was anchored by Ben Barton. And until that, we hadn't had a good offensive defensive line since Keanu Benton. So I'm not saying that these guys can't be Ben Barton. I'm just saying, like, yes, their size. Perkins, 323. Russell's 312. Poizer's 310. There is a lot of size there. And
Poizer's 330.
Is he 330? Oh, these are not updated numbers. No, nonetheless, I'm perfectly content.
They have five guys that are 314 or bigger.
I'm happy with the size. I'm happy with the names. I'm happy with the roster. I am scarred again. I was scarred on the offensive line last year. I'm scarred on the defensive line from a couple years ago. I think that, you know, our defensive scheme obviously improved last year. We were pretty happy with what Tressel was doing overall because he had the size up front. They prioritized it. They got it, and they did it again. It should be okay, but I'm a six on this defensive line, and they're still in total prove it mode for me. Until I hear a bit more about it. I like a lot more about the defense. The defensive line scares me. And let me tell you, if the defensive line is not really, really good, everything else falls apart behind it. That's all I'm saying.
Let's go to edges.
All right. Edges. There you go. Where'd you at with edges?
I honestly, there's been some real fire here from people saying that this is a really strong edge group. And I think you've got some versatility in that group that wasn't necessarily there as much last year. There's just more depth. Sounds like Clayton has been exactly what we hoped he would. Sounds like Cheeks took a step. You have a guy like Jalen Williams who gives you some size and athleticism on the edge at 270 and a guy who really reshaped his body in the offseason. You have Fearbury who hopefully took a step and hopefully isn't a knucklehead the whole season doing stupid things, you know, with the penalties. But it's not even just that. You've got other bodies that are kind of in that group that are providing some flexibility and size that we didn't necessarily have. I feel really good about the edge group. I don't necessarily think you're going to have somebody who's just kind of a man-child like Gregor was. But I think collectively, this group is a stronger group overall. And I think the production is probably going to match even if it's split up a little bit more across the board.
What's your number on this group?
8.
So this is one of the reasons I wanted to do this particular show today is because of this group. I'm at 9 on this group. Okay. I love. And again, this comes from the fact that multiple now, however many spring practices we've had, I think we're 15 or so in, like whatever that is. That is why I'm saying that. These guys have clearly showed out. And you're absolutely right. Nick Clayton, Williams, Cheeks, Denitz looks like he's had a nice little camp as well.
Yeah, he's starting to come around now.
There is a really good, as you mentioned, a very multidimensional body profile in this room. And you've got guys that can play, you know, kind of your traditional DN type of a role. You've got guys that can really, you know, like play more of a traditional outside linebacker role. Like there is just this is a really good room that we knew was coming because Clayton and Williams were good. But now you add in like the guys that we got and Denitz and some of these guys. I'm in Boone. We forget about Boone too. Boone's a really good guy. There is just a lot of talent here. And seemingly like every day when we get new spring updates, it's one of those things where like, oh, the pass rush. It's made me concerned about our O-line even more. That's one of the reasons I'm still concerned about it because when push and pull, right? If one unit's doing well, what's on the other side of it? But it's very, very good news when the fact that Haywood and Wilkins, and we've heard good things about Wilkins, we know those are our tackles. If the pass rush is getting home against those guys or playing well against them, that means it's a pretty good pass rush because we know.
Yeah, it sounds like they're trading punches. I don't want to like the offensive line. I've never heard anyone, and I've asked this question: does it seem like the defense is just teeing off? And it doesn't sound that way. It sounds like they're battling. And there are plays where the offense wins and there's plays where the defense wins. And that's what you want to hear. Like even like it's not necessarily the end of the world hearing that Joseph isn't having like an amazing camp. If the defense is really good, he's going to bust his butt and have to earn it. But a lot of this early camp stuff has been install and the defense knows exactly what they're doing. Like they're not going out there having to set up for run pass. It's, hey, we're doing install for passing. So these are, you know, we're going to be running these routes or whatever. Defense knows exactly what's going to be run. and it ends up coming off of that. So it's not shocking to me that Saturday he looked good, because it was much more of a closer to a scrimmage profile in terms of what they were doing. And I think that we'll hear that again this next Saturday, that he hopefully looks good again. But yeah, from that perspective, I think the defense is going to be lights out, and we're heading to another position that's probably the strongest one on the team next.
Yeah. Before we do that quickly, MB Anderson's Williams sounds really damn improved. Jalen Williams, certainly he's a sophomore.
Go out there and look up his profile on X. Normally you cannot always tell the massive difference between what a guy's done in one offseason and the next. Jalen Williams absolutely looks like he was rebuilt. Like, his body is completely reshaped from his freshman year till now.
He could be the most important.
He put on like 25 pounds of muscle.
He could be the most important player in that room. He could absolutely be. And that's one of the reasons I'm really happy with this room, because the fact that we're hearing good things from Clayton and Williams, you couple that with all the transfers we brought in, this could be a special pass rush room. I'm at a 10 on the inside linebacker. Is he talking about DiMaggio? Hanna says you were saying his name correctly. DiMaggio. Yes. Well, I'll believe it. We'll find out. All right. So inside linebackers, I'm at a 10. I don't know that I could be more confident in any group. We've got maybe the two best inside linebackers in the conference in Mason Posta and Cooper Catalano, John Kamara, Tommy Heiberger. They're all looking good. Schaefer, like, everybody in this room looks like a stud. Very, very happy with these guys. Nothing else to say.
Yeah, I mean, you have varying body profiles here. You have athleticism. You have speed. Like, this is, you could hockey line this up. Like, you could basically just be like, all right, you guys are going in for this drive. You're going in the next, and swap out as necessary. And you just have a bunch of dudes that are capable of just causing havoc against an offense. And all of them are kind of problems. Like, the most limited athlete out of that group is probably Cooper, and his instincts are probably the best out of the group. I mean, you can say that Posa is, his instincts are a little bit different in terms of, like, how he looks at the game. He's kind of a little Tasmanian devil, whereas Cooper's very, just seems to have kind of that Chris Borland attitude in terms of how he reads the game, and is just a step quicker than everybody else. It is such a deep room, and it, like, you could literally swap out. Like, we haven't had this since in 2017, the depth we had at inside linebacker was crazy like that too. We had a bunch of guys who are capable of just jumping in there, because you had three sack Jack, you had, or you had, was it Williams? No, what am I thinking? I'm terrible with names. So bad. But anyway, yeah. Like, we have not had a bunch of guys that were just capable of slotting in and just being like, there's no drop off in forever. I feel like we have some of that here. And in some cases, John Kamara is the best athlete in that group. Like, he is the fastest and most explosive guy there is. Time will tell whether he's on the same level as a guy like Posa, who is probably the best combination of instincts and athleticism that we've seen there in a very long, like, I think Posa, from an ability to drop in space, might be the best that we've had, because I think that he's a step up from Chanel in that regard, who struggled dropping back, but was a missile going forward. Yeah. And I think Posa's capable of doing both.
Not much else to add to that. That room is amazing. Let's finish up. We're a little over time. Let's finish up with the secondary. Cornerbacks, feeling good about that group?
I think they're an 8. I think this might be the best I felt about a corner room since Eccles and Fletcher were out there.
Yeah,
I think you have legitimate depth at that spot, and I think you have athleticism at that spot, which is not something that Wisconsin has really been able to lean on before. I think Fletcher's a good athlete. I think Robinson is an absolute burner at corner. You have West, who is a plus athlete in the slot, and then you have guys coming up behind them who, like, Jameer Scott, who has been playing lights out. You have Kai Bates, who has been playing really well too. Like, you legitimately have a bunch of bodies that you could throw at this in a given time if necessary. And you're deeper than you've probably been in a good while. Because how long has it been since we've said we can weather the storm if we have an injury here? It's been a long
time. Yeah, I mean, you're right. The depth in this room is looking good. The athletic ceiling is clearly raised. Javon Robinson could be a guy that just surprises the entire conference. Yeah, very, very happy with this room. As I am with safety as well. I'll go first here. I'm at 8.5 on safety. Marvin Burks. Young, I thought played much better at the back half of last season. So if he takes a step and he looks good, then you got guys like Van Dinter, you've got Skanes in the safety room now, yeah. You've got Dean, like there's just Trainer still there. There's a lot of guys here. And ultimately, Marvin Burks probably our best chance at like a top. Could be a top few round draft pick. I mean, he looks like he's going to be that good. And yeah, very happy with the room. The defensive secondary, I think could, I mean, as you've said many times that the defense is going to be very good next year. And it's hard to not be in, to not believe that given that we just went through the entire defensive roster and we're like, yeah, we're pretty happy with everything.
Do you think this is the most athletic defense? I'm not saying best, most athletic defense that we have put on the field probably dating back to Barry.
Yeah, probably because it's something that Fickell and Tressel clearly have prioritized in their, whether recruiting whether it's recruits or whether it's transfer portal. So yeah, I think it is, especially with the cornerbacks. I mean, you've mentioned that too. Cornerbacks look good inside. We know about Kaposa and Catalano. The defensive line's got pretty good athleticism in the end. So yeah, I think you're right. It is. And I am beginning to feel better about this defense. I'm still, my question mark is still the interior of the line. And if the interior of the line performs as you think they are, this defense could be very, very good, which is fun. I'm going to quickly just tell you right now, I'm like at a 3 when it comes to special teams, because seriously, I don't know who the hell is going to kick the ball.
We've got a punter. You can't be a 3 because you got to have fine. At least a default to 5 because of the punter you feel really good about.
But the kicking is very important. Kicking is very important. We need a kicker. I don't know what's going to happen here, but whatever.
Why are you so negative on him?
Because I just don't. I need to see it in a game. I need to see listen. He's been good in spring is one thing, but can you do it when you're down 2 with 3 seconds to go against Ohio State? I don't know.
Yeah, but I think unless you have a returning kicker that's kicked for you, like when are you ever going to have a high score with this?
Or a good transfer portal guy, go pay for a kicker.
But then his experience is my point. So you know your grade is based off of prior experience. He could be really good. I mean, we just don't know.
Listen, I love Sean
Wilson. What do we view as like the entry level score for this? Like we don't know, so it's this is the score. Because I don't think it's fair to give a guy a 0 unless you're looking at somebody who's like a guy like the dude that's drank like 6 beers off the like in the stands that's coming down to kick a field goal for like $1 million from 45 yards out.
Ultimately, my simple point is I'm not confident because I expected us to bring in a transfer guy and I've been upset that we haven't. That's ultimately where I'm at with this. I wanted to bring someone in.
I think that I would give him probably a 6 because I've heard good things, but I haven't seen any of it on the field. And until we see it in game, I know he's got a stronger leg than what we had last year. So I think unless we're hearing that he's consistently not accurate, I'm going to trust that he can get it done at this level. But we'll see what happens.
Should be good. We'll see. All right. We'll wrap it up there. Went a little bit long. Thanks for always joining us. And if you are still listening to this, hit that like button. It's very, very helpful to the show and to our YouTube algorithm and all that stuff. So thank you. Share this with a friend. Subscribe if you haven't already. And if you're one of the people that lasts all the way, about 40% of you stay with us till the very end. So thank you. Thank you so much. And definitely hit that like button. Any final thoughts before we close the show?
I think I talked more than I probably should have already. So.
There you go. That's fair. That's very fair. All right. We will be back again next week. Nick Osen was going to join us this week, but then I had to change the time of the show, so he couldn't. But he will be joining us next week to talk kind of post-spring, breakdown, all that kind of stuff. Obviously, talk about the basketball reload that's happening. So thank you for joining us. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.